Oh God, if there's ever a time I need you, it's this morning. And Lord, our church needs you. Lord, I don't think people see that we got problems. Lord, I don't think people understand that things ain't right like they think they are. And God, you wore me out. And I repent again this morning for the message even just this morning has convicted me. Oh God, I'm sorry for failing. I'm sorry. And ask you to cleanse me. Help me to be the pastor that I need to be. But help me to be the Christian brother that I need to be. Help me to be the Christian husband, the Christian papa, the Christian uncle. Lord, there's so many that whether they should or not matters not. But Lord, they depend on me. Oh God, help me to walk with you that I may not never leave nobody astray. Help my light to shine bright for you, oh God, that they may not see me, but they would see you. And I thank you for all. Give me power as you see fit. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. We're looking at less love more in 2024. All right? You would think, no big deal. We just cut out a big heart and send it to somebody. Put a little heart on her bumper. You know, you'll see, I heart you. And that's all we need, you know. And I'm sure that works, you know. I know it works because you take people and put them little Christian emblems on there. They're a perfect Christian, you know. And people put John 3:16, they're always witnessing to people, you know. I've seen the cars at Dr. Bar, and I know they're witnessing to people in there. That's why they're there. So we just have a little card or something to put on, and that's all we need, right? No, see, that ain't the way it is. Valentine's, we love one time a year, Valentine's Day. And most men forget that, and after a while, the women don't even care anymore. You know? Think about it. We're more interested in Easter baskets and jelly beans and a Christmas present. We are loving the one that's sitting beside right now. Huh? The one we look in at the mirror in, when we look in the mirror of a morning and everybody looks in the mirror, that's the one you're in love with. Now, you might not like their ways. You may get aggravated at them. But that's the one you're in love with because everything you do is to make yourself comfortable. That's who you're in love with. And that's who you serve. You serve self. You say, well, I don't. Well, then you're also a liar. I mean, this is for all of us. Now, it may not be every day, all of us. There may be, you know, a blind hog will find an acorn every now and then you turn him loose in the woods. We may every now and then be a Christian. But I'm persuaded after studying that your leader ain't. I might be saved, but I'm far from being a Christian. I don't know how the people following me are, but if they're following me very close, I reckon you're right in there with me. Huh? The blind will all fall into this. Yeah. Let's look and see. Now, that's just an introduction. Wait till you see the message. Amen. All right? We're going to look at the Scripture, and we're going to be very plain this morning. And we're not being sarcastic at all. Not one time am I wanting to be sarcastic. I want to be as plain and blunt and clear as I've ever been this morning. Amen. Okay? I'm not clicking, guys. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. Now that's true. You serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. Now before I go any further, I can't help I don't come over here, but it's hard on me to turn that way. All right? Okay. So it ain't because y'all need it more. Okay? All right? But I use that screen because it's easier on me to use that screen. Is that okay, everybody? I don't want y'all to think y'all's left out over here. All right? They got one on back there this morning. All of them say the same thing. All right? So if you don't want to look at me, you turn around and look at the TV back there on the wall. So, All right? But you serve what you love. You love what you serve. And there is no love without service. All right? Love without service is empty and it's not there. The Jesus said in the Bible. Now, when I say Jesus, any word in that book, I'm just going to go ahead and say Jesus said, because He's God and it's all God's Word. It says, love not in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love not in word or in tongue. Don't just say it. If you don't do something with it, you ain't loving. All right? Just think about that. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Now, I did not make that up. I've been reading for months, and I found out, I've looked up hundreds of definitions of love. And I said, is that not a true? Y'all answer me. Is that not a true statement? That's what true love would be. Love would be the unselfish concern about another's welfare. My example is the Lord. Unselfishly, He come down, laid everything aside, give everything up just to die for a filthy wretch as I. So if there's ever an example of love, I believe that explains it. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. See, He didn't want me to remain lost. He died for me and rose again for me and come to me because my welfare was in danger. Huh? Think about that. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. Still, my Savior is the example of one person seeking the highest good for another person. Had I been the only one, He'd have left heaven for me. Huh? That's love. He didn't wash me and didn't love me, but He loved me and then washed me. Huh? That's our example. Christ is our example. He loved me, then He washed me. We're wanting to wash people the way we want them to be instead of loving them like they are. Huh? We looked at already God's love for a sinner. Didn't even touch it. God's love for His children couldn't even make a scratch in it. Our love for God, well, it's almost embarrassing to preach it. Loving our enemies, huh? Y'all wasn't here last Sunday. Y'all was lost on live stream. Poor old Rick sat right there in front of the camera or behind the camera, and he said, you ought to have been sitting where I'm sitting this morning. He got the whole message. Just Rick Childers sitting there as I preached on loving our enemy. Last Sunday night, we looked at loving the brethren, part one. Huh? And it was just as tough. Loving the brethren. We all know, well, we love our enemies. Yeah. But and I love all the brethren. Loving the brethren, part two. All right. What does it mean to love the brethren? Well, let's think about it. It means that we, us, brethren, saved, not church members, saved people. All right. It means that we are to be deliberate, that means on purpose, in cultivating or make grow, huh? And showing, demonstrating, everybody okay? True Christian love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, we are to live as if our fellow believers are family, and we are to love them like they are family because they are family. Huh? Now let's say that again. That's a mouthful, ain't it? In other words, we're to live as if our fellow believers are family, and we are to love them like they are family because they are family. We're family. We're family. Not just in the church. As every believer in my family. We look at what kind of love this was that we're supposed to have. That's what we looked at last week. Well, it's costly love. It's an unconditional love. It's an intentional love. It's an act of love. And it's a selfless love. Huh? You know, I almost put selfish because that comes more natural. I had to go back and retype it to make it say selfless because I automatically put selfish. I reckon that's me. Huh? Costly love, unconditional love. Costly love. It's going to cost you something. Cost you something to love somebody. Not just dollar and cents. Big five-letter word. It rubs us wrong all the time. We're full of it. And God hates it. It's called pride. You know? Pride will keep me loving you like I ought to love you. Pride. I got to lower myself. I ain't lowering myself down for you. You sorry, no count, good for nothing, Christian brother. Huh? Costly love. Unconditional love. Now, wait a minute. Unconditional. That don't mean I got to love you anyhow, does it? Now, I reckon it does. Intentional. Then I got to love you anyhow on purpose. One thing for me to go ahead and give it a blank statement, I love everybody. I'm so full of hum. Nah. It's got to be on a purpose. It's got to be on a purpose. See, we all the time say, well, some people it's hard to love. Not if I love the Lord. Do you ever found in the Bible where God says, I love everybody, some of you it's harder? No, He don't ever say that. Act of love, huh? Act of love means it's got to move, something's got to happen. Selfless love means you might have to give up something. Huh? Salvation does take us to heaven. Can you agree to that?
Amen.
Salvation does take us to heaven. But God leaves us here after we are saved to win the lost and to help one another. Do you believe that? But so often we forget that our relationship with God is proven by our relationship with one another. My relationship with the Lord proves. No. My relationship with you proves. You catch that? My relationship with you proves my relationship with the Lord. So if we ain't getting along, we ain't either. We got a problem, we got a problem. We got an attitude, I got an attitude. He don't have an attitude. He's just right. Jesus said, now, I didn't write the scripture today. I'm not just telling you what He said. Okay? Jesus said, you heard it said, don't commit adultery, right? But Jesus then said, if you look upon a woman to lust, you've already committed adultery. That's more serious. Correct? Does everybody understand that? All right? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you've heard it said that thou shalt not kill or you shall be in danger of judgment. But Jesus then said, if you're angry without a cause, you're in danger of judgment. More serious. Line gets a little more narrow. Okay? It's a narrow way. It's a narrow cross. It's narrow. Huh? Jesus speaking, now He said, you have heard it said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus said, love your enemy and bless them. If He just said love them, I could have got by. But then He said bless them, then do good to them. You know, that part really wore me out. I ain't just supposed to love them. Okay, I love you and get gone. You know, here's your Valentine. Throw you a little mint. Be my Valentine and keep it going. But then He said, bless them. And then after He said, bless them, do good unto them. Then after He said, do good to them, then He said, pray for them. I said, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. That's enough already. Now, I don't know if you thought that, but I did. Of course, I ain't supposed to have no enemies, you know. I know you don't have none. Yeah. John 13:34-35 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I believe that's more serious. That you love one another? Okay, all right, let's love one another. No, don't love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. That's how you love one another. You love one another as I've loved you. That's more serious than just telling me to love you. Because then I have examples. Then I have a go sheet. They in my line of work for years, I'm a machinist by trade, and on many of the parts that we made, there were gauges that you had to have to make sure the part was right. Some of the parts I worked on and built were for air compressors and big air machinery like air track drills, and Ingersoll ran air track drills, parts and things, some for compressors himself, some to make everything go. And we had what you called a go or a no-go gauge. And you make your part and you could think it was right, but that gauge was perfect. Ground perfect. And it was a go or a no-go gauge. If it went, it was fine. If it didn't go, whoa, no, scrap. It was a standard. All right? In the measuring tools that I've always used that measure in half thousandths or actually tenths, ten thousandths of an inch. Y'all know that's pretty close. That's a little closer than hair. Right, actually, hair is about, well, I ain't going to tell you. It's thicker than that. But there's a thousand thousandths in an inch. There's 10,000 thousandths. You understand how small we're getting. And my measuring tools, that's how close they measured. But every now and then you had to check them because people handled them. And because people handled them, they would get messed up. So there was something in the box called a standard. And in that box, it was ground just perfect. And you would take that standard and you would put it between and you would twist and make that measuring device exactly, and then you would have to readjust. But you didn't change your standard. Everybody okay? Now, she has them. She said she'd be all right. She has them regularly. Nobody get tore up about the curl back here. All right? That's why she says she sits in the box so she don't bother nobody. We okay? Now, our standard is not what you think love should be. Our standard is not how active you think it ought to be. Our standard is not, has nothing to do with what we think. There's a standard that don't change. And we are to adjust ourselves to the standard. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. You say, well, I can't do that. No, you can't. But there just happens to be somebody that lives inside of you, and if you'll let him do what he's supposed to do on the inside of you, then that is very possible. Okay? Be okay. Now, John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Wait a minute, we just read that. No, this is another verse. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He told them twice. I think it just gets more serious. Are we still okay? Now let's look. Oh, think about that love that I'm supposed to have for you. Now, hey, listen, it's going to be easier for me to love you than anybody in here. But I ain't cutting it. And we ain't even too loving your spouse yet. That's a whole new line of message. Huh? Just want you to know, if I fail here, I've done really failed all over there. What love we're to have one for another. For every believer, not just the ones that attend Mountain State Baptist Church, but for every believer that has been born again, wherever they're from, whatever church they attend. True love. Now look at that next statement. Equal love. I'm not to love anybody different. Equally. You say, well, where do you get that? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So when He said the world, He said, for God so loved the world that put everybody in it and everybody equal the same. And He'd be our example. So we are to love Him with true love and equal love. Well, let's look. There's no exceptions and there's no excuses. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's why we're able to love, because He lives inside. And we're born again. And we're born of love. Huh? Talk to me. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, that's just what the Bible says.
Right.
That's just what it says. Love is the unselfish concern about another's welfare. Love is that act of one person seeking the highest good for another person. Huh? 1 John 5, 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. That's everybody. Everybody still okay?
Yes.
For this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Notice it didn't say that by this we know that we love the people that attend Mountain State.
Right.
They said we love the children of God.
Right.
And that's not all Baptists neither.
Right.
All Baptists ain't saved.
Right.
Huh? Right. Just so you'll know. There's a lot of people, because they're a Baptist, think they're going and they're going to burn in hell. Loving the brethren, listen to me, is not a joke. And I'm not being critical, because I've laughed with you, but we've been laughing about this.
Right.
Loving the brethren is not, it's not funny.
Right.
But we've laughed. Oh, I've got to love you. Yeah, you do.
Yeah,
you do. If you don't love me, you don't love God.
Right.
If you can't love me, you're not saved.
Right.
If you don't love me, you don't love God. If you can't love me, you're not saved.
Amen.
Okay? It's not a suggestion. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. We have not been doing this.
Amen.
We have not been doing this. This love is not selective, but it's sincere.
Correct.
This love is not selective. It's sincere. This love is not selective.
Amen.
But we love selectively. We're wrong. And we're living in it and won't repent of it. And we want God to bless and save our people. It ain't going to happen. This love is not selective, but sincere. Selective means selecting with care and due attention to preference as to be choices of one's company. That's how we love right now. That's why there's cliques.
Amen.
That's why there's little groups. Because we love selectively.
Right.
And you say, well, I don't. Yes, we do. We'll say it and say, I'm guilty. But we won't. We'll walk out of here this morning and our heart will be hardened to the truth of God. This is our idea of love. We may not admit it, but this is the first step in our love for one another. It's selective. I'll choose who I love. I love you. I don't like you because I don't like where you're from. Huh? I don't like you because I don't like what you do. I don't like you because, well, you don't fit me. And your personality is different. And you've done this. And you've done, and I remember when this. And I remember that you've done that. And I remember years ago. You're not fooling me. And we've all said the very same things I've just said. I remember what you did. I remember. We got to forget. You ought to just repent and forget. Well, I can't forget. Yeah, you can. You've been forgetting yours. Just forget theirs for a while. Huh? We still okay? Well, I ain't. Sincere means being in reality what it appears to be, not feigned or not fake. Huh? The truth is, the majority of our love is fake. When we see the meaning of love, we don't seek good for others. We looked a while ago that if I love you, that I want to seek the welfare of you. We may, if it comes convenient, we'll help your welfare. But we don't get up in the morning and say, who can I seek to help today? We look in the mirror and say, well, how easy can I get it today? We're not interested in cultivating love one with another. The synonyms for sincere is genuine, honest, truthful, earnest, straight, heartfelt, frank, open, natural, unaffected, candid, serious, authentic, real. Huh? We okay? That's love. I'm not talking about God loving me. I'm talking about me loving you and you loving me. Because He lives in me. Huh. 1 John 4:20 says, if a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You know how we get by that? Well, they're probably not saved. The way they act, maybe feeling them, maybe they're probably not even safe. So I ain't got to love them. No, you're supposed to love your enemy. Because if they've done that, then they're your enemy. Now you got to love them anyhow. We okay? Who am I to tell you you're not saved? I tell you what the Bible says. If you don't have Bible salvation, you're lost. But it don't have to. It's not my opinion. Because there's days I don't even believe I'm going. So you know there's going to be days I don't believe you're going. Is that not true? I mean, I'm trying to preach honest this morning. There's days I don't know if I'm going or not. I've had such a fight and a terrible time and stuff go through my mind. I've got down to pray and the stuff that went through my mind, y'all would hang me outside and let the buzzards take my eyeballs out, if you knowed it. When I was trying to pray. Huh? So don't think for a minute that I don't wonder sometimes if you're going. Because I do. This love is not hurtful, but helpful. This love is not hurtful, but it's helpful. And I hope everybody understands I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'll take my medicine, I'll get in line, take my shots and medicine just like you do. I wouldn't hurt you. What hurt you on a purpose to set out to hurt you? Now, if the truth hurts you, that's not me. That's the truth. Right. The Bible says, let every man be a liar. He be the truth. So I'll just say the truth ain't in me. Right. Other than Christ. How about that? We okay? Is everybody still all right with me? Hurtful, not helpful. Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Do we ever do anything to anybody knowing that we're doing? Do you ever avoid somebody, not speak to somebody, hold something in her heart or mind? But love don't work no ill toward her neighbor. Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4 says this, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Do you think they're just put in there to fill out a paragraph? You want to have a spiritual church? Love one another like the Lord loves us. You want to see the power of God fall like you've never, ever heard of? Love one another like the Lord loves us.
Right.
You know why sinners won't come? Because we don't love one another. The Bible tells us plainly that others will know we've been with Jesus because we have love one for another. Love is not condemning, but caring. Huh? Love is not condemning, but caring. John 3:17 says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Is He still an example? I ask you this morning, is He still an example?
Right.
Then what right do we have to condemn anybody? That don't mean we don't stand for the truth. That don't mean we don't preach against sin. I'm talking about condemning people. There's a vast difference there. We're told to stand on the truth. We're taught that. We're taught not to back up. Fight the good fight of faith. Give our life for the gospel's sake. Yes. But I have no right to condemn you. And you have no right to condemn me. Not if Jesus is our example. Because if God come down in flesh and says, "For this God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Listen, our sins condemn us anyway. That's the Holy Spirit's work, to reprove me of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Galatians 6:1 says we are to restore a brother or sister who's overtaken in a fault. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you are the Spirit to restore such a one, lest you fall in the same temptation. We know the scripture? Huh? But it's very rare, very, very rare that there's any restoring done in a church. There's a lot of gossiping done in the church. Huh? There's a lot of judging in the church. Huh? There's a lot of condemning in the church. Huh? There's a lot of shining in the church. Hey, there's a lot of this in Mountain State Baptist Church. Right here on January 28th, 2024 at 12:17. Huh? And then many times all of that gossiping and judging, condemning and shunning turns to hate. And we don't even know why. A lot of it's because of what we heard, not what we know. Because we're so eager to listen to gossip and repeat it. Because we're not going to talk about Jesus, so we got to talk about one another. Extremely rare anyone goes to him or her alone to fix a problem without telling someone else. How do I know that? Because many of you have come to my office and said, "Hey, I got a problem with something." Did you talk to him? No. Then you got two problems. You got a problem with them, then you gossip to me. You only come to me when it can't be resolved. And then we call court. But I can't get nobody to do the first step. Without telling somebody else. You know why we tell others before we talk to one another? Because we want somebody on our side in case it don't go right and we're wrong. So we tell somebody else first. Listen, I got trouble with Jerry, Gerald. Jerry been doing it, and I'm going to have to talk to Jerry. But I just want you to know, pray for me, because I'm going to go tell him I don't know how it's going to turn, because this is what he done. And I'm going to explain it my way, but I want you to pray as I go. That's the biggest bunch of hypocrisy that's ever been come out of a Christian's mouth. Don't ask me to pray about you going somewhere to fix a problem. I shouldn't even know.
Right.
Amen. Amen, Preacher Mark.
Amen. Amen.
If I got a problem with Jerry, hey, Jerry, hold on a minute. Hey, we got an issue. This is what I perceive. This is what's wrong. And I got a problem with you. Now, if you are guilty, then your response will be, I'm sorry. Let's pray and repent. If you're not guilty, you need to show the preacher that's what you perceived that ain't really right. That's why. Now, then that should end it.
Right. Yes. Yes, it should.
Because Cheryl, not meaning to, will talk to Trista, and she'll see me and Jerry over at home and say, did Mark talk to Jerry? Trista said, about what? Well, he's got a problem. Well, I didn't know he had a problem. And then I got a problem with Jerry, and then Tristan and Cheryl done talked about it. And then Tristan will say, Jerry, what's the preacher mad at you for?
You're exactly right. Yes. Amen.
Now, none of that's been meant because we're going to pray about this because we're so super spiritual.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't pray about nothing else. We worry about everything else.
Yeah.
But we pray when there's a problem. That bull. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Huh? Are we caring? This love is, now we looked at what love is not, now let's look at what love is. Okay? Love is forbearing and forgiving. Do we understand what that means? We'll find it in Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. Well, I'll forgive them when they ask. It don't say that. It don't. It don't say that. It says be patient and do it. This love is friendly and has fellowship. Right? Henceforth I call you not servants. John 15:15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord doth. But I have called you friends. Now this is very interesting. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Friends share things. And we don't even know one another's name in the church. I love everybody, and you don't even know who it is, and been going to church here for years. I'm going to preach on loving one another. Huh? You know, when I thought, and I felt impressed on this, I said, well, then you know it ought to be. We ought to have some good spiritual service. Do you know that ain't one service been spiritual in preaching because of the resentment? And I preached on God loving us and God loving sinners and us loving God because we're so wrapped up in us. We can't love one another. We don't love God and we hate our enemies. And it's been like pulling hen's teeth trying to get a grunt out of anybody. But we ain't changing. Friends share things. Jesus said, I call y'all friends because I'm going to share with you what the Father's on me. Yeah. Well, I can't trust y'all to be sharing y'all anything. I don't love y'all that much to trust you with how I feel or what I need or what I want. Y'all bunch of reprobate wretches. I love you. I love you, but I ain't trusting you. I love you, but I don't like you. I love you, and if you missed more often, I'd love you more. I know we're not like that, but just a preacher like it. I'm sorry, I'm just preaching to Mark and all these messages. I'm sorry y'all to be saying, talk to yourself, preacher. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now let's look at it. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But yet we let others keep us from fellowship. But others should cause our fellowship. And you say, how do we know that? How do we know that? Well, can you flip back? I didn't mean to hit that. Can we flip back? Flip back. One slide. Have you ever heard anybody say, well, I just can't go because so-and-so's gone? Has anybody ever said that? If I know they ain't going to be there, I'll go. There's people that's quit. There's people that's quit Mount St. Baptist Church because of other people that go to Mount St. Baptist Church, and that's foolishness. Yeah. Amen. If I love you like the Lord loves you, it's going to promote our fellowship. Therefore, it's going to promote our church attendance. Therefore, it's going to promote our function attendance. Because it's whatever I can do to be near you. See, when I courted Cheryl, I was in love with Cheryl. I told her, the first night we ever went out, I told her I loved her then. I wanted to marry her. I'd have married her that night if they'd let me. And I wanted to be with her all the time. And I reckon we was together every Friday and Saturday and Sunday, other than your baby or bridal shower, before we got married. I reckon other than that, we was together every weekend. And it was a chore for us to court because Daddy wasn't going to let me borrow the truck if I didn't have money to put gas in it. And it was a long distance to call. So I had to put forth effort to go over and sit with her and Paul Jean on the couch. What a joy. Let me tell you, if for no other reason, if that don't prove I love you, just sit with Paul Jean on the couch, that ought to be it. But it takes effort. And I wanted us to be together. I didn't have money to go get a burger. I didn't have money to go to a movie house. I didn't have money to go get a pizza. I wasn't even allowed in a Pizza Hut because they served beer. I was taught you don't go in places that serve beer. And I would not go even get a pizza. All we could do was, well, now we could walk out Granddaddy and Granny Ruth's. Yeah? If Alvin and Kathy was outside, we could go over to the fence and talk to them. Now, let me just sit there and look at one another. You know why? Because we love one. All we wanted was fellowship. Do you really want fellowship with everybody? Do you want fellowship? I mean, is that why you don't come to Sunday school and don't come back on Sunday night because you want fellowship? Is that why you can, but you don't come on Wednesday? Because you love fellowship? You just want to be with me? I mean, I'm one of these people.
Right.
I'm one of these people we're supposed to love and want fellowship with, right?
Yeah.
Last Sunday, it was bad, brother. It was bad. I got to church early because I knew there was snow in front of the door and I wanted to clean the snow out from in front of the doors. I got here early. Right? And guess who was here before me? Now, I got here, I don't know, 20 to 9. Guess who was here before me? A dear lady who walked 9 miles to get here last Sunday morning. Sister Carol walked yet last Sunday morning and beat me here. Just barely, I was coming up the hill when she was coming up to the door. And I love her. I'm going to tell you something she said. I said, "Now, Carol, we're just having a live stream." I said, "I want you." She said, "Now, don't you just do this for me." I said, "No, honey, we're going to do it for the live stream." She said, "Okay." I said, "I just want you to know it's just going to be me and Brother Rick and Jeremy. These all going to be here." She said, "Preacher, I'm not in it for the numbers." All she done was walk 8-9 miles here Sunday morning, last Sunday morning. When we didn't come, she walked last Sunday morning. Last Sunday night, it was just me and Jeremy. Wherever he's at work. Me and Jeremy. Jeremy came in, him, and right when I was playing the singing, here come Brother Steve back there, Steve Beaver. His boy come in, slipped in, said, "Wasn't nobody else here, but the doors are locked. I'll never lock the doors on the church on a Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday. I ain't going to do it."
Amen.
He slipped in, he sat down, and after it was over, couldn't talk to him before, I said, "Steve, you know," he said, "Well," he said, "we just wanted to come."
Amen.
"We just wanted to come." But if we walk in the light, and He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. I'm just wanting you to understand this morning that we got a ways to go, and we're not as big and great as everybody thinks we are. What we got is a lot of people, huh? That's what we got. We got a lot of people, a lot of kids. And can I tell you, there's some that just come for the kids, and some that just come for the stuff we do, and you don't come for God, and you don't come because you love one another, and some of you have been here for years and you still don't love one another. And I hate to say it, but probably some of you here because you didn't love who you was going to church with before. And just the fact of it. Somewhere, we're going to have to change. It's not a little thing to love God, and it's not a little thing to love one another. A new commandment I give it to you. I already got 10. A new commandment I give it to you. If you love one another as I have loved you. Let me ask you, are you failing at loving one another? You have to answer. Maybe I'm entirely wrong off base. But I failed. I've had to repent last night, this week, this morning. Huh? Are you failing at loving one another? Let me ask you, are you holding grudges against anyone another? Are you holding grudges? About anything, about anybody, are you? But you're a Christian. You ain't got that right. You don't have the right to hold a grudge. Because you're forgiven. You hearing me? You don't have a right to hold a grudge because you've been forgiven. We have been hurtful. Have we been? Huh? Hurtful toward a brother or sister? Have we been unforgiving to one another? Have we been patient with one another? Huh? Well, I don't have patience. Are you saved? Talk to me. Anybody here saved?
Yeah.
Then the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me you don't have patience. Now, if you say, I don't want patience, I don't like patience, then I say you're an honest man or woman. But don't say you don't have it, because Christ lives in you. Unless you ain't saved, then you don't have nothing. You're dead in your sins. You're going to hell. Huh? Have we been unfriendly or avoiding fellowship with a brother or sister? I'm not talking about a mountain saint. I'm talking about a believer.
Amen.
I'm talking about a believer. Have we been selective in who we love? Have we been condemning instead of caring? If so, what are we going to do about it? Will we repent and ask God to help us? Huh? Will we? This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Loving one another, loving the brethren. Father, I give as you ask. Thank you for a word. You're right. I'm wrong. God, I pray that you might help us here this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask.